There's a thousand further women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to the Katz Report on the radio. This is John Katzlamitas. I write the Katz Report, which appears in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly, LasVegasSun.com and LasVegasWeekly.com. I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including The Sunday, the weekly news magazine. It comes out on the Sunday, except on the occasions you find it on the Saturday and sometimes online on the Monday. Joining me this week is a funk superstar. He is the frontman for the band Cameo, which is, of course, best known for their mid-1980s hits Word Up and Candy, but the band has a far-reaching history before even those songs were recorded, and they are about to celebrate their 40th anniversary, remarkably enough. Currently, Cameo is in residence here in Las Vegas at the Westgate Cabaret at Westgate Las Vegas, and here to talk about the band and their new home in Las Vegas is the great Larry Blackman. Larry?
Hello.
Nice curveball.
Oh, you get a lot of that.
You do some impressions, do you?
Not at all.
Welcome to the studio.
That was a friend of mine. Yeah.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much, man. It's a pleasure to be here.
How are you liking it so far?
Loving it. You know, it's a new experience for us, playing one place instead of one-nighters, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We decided about, I guess, 4 or 5 years ago now that we would tour year-round, mm-hmm. you know, instead of the traditional release tour, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, we started this way, playing in clubs, you know, doing mm-hmm. top 10 and what have you, and that's how we shaped our skills, you know?
Right.
And which is why I guess we became such an eclectic musical band.
What has your touring schedule been like prior in that 4 or 5 year period? How busy have you been? How many dates and what kind of venues?
Maximum, I'd say. You know, and I'm picking a super year. Okay, mm-hmm. I'd say about 50 something odd dates. You know, and the minimum is about 28, 26. You know,
so these are like tours all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we they're one-offs traditionally, mm-hmm. and we just book a lot of them.
Where have you been playing? What types of facilities? Performing arts?
We've been all around the world. We've been to Japan, London, you know, Amsterdam.
Where is Cameo the biggest? Where are they most popular?
Most popular. That's hard to say. Of course, the United States, you know, mm-hmm. and you get a different perspective when you go to, like when you spend time in London and you're reading the newspapers and everything about what's going on back here. So, I'd say the United States mainly, okay?
Right. Uh-huh.
That's no secret,
right.
You know?
Is there a region of the U.S. where you guys are particularly popular?
All over.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, other than North and South Dakota.
We're really trying to get regional here.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm just wondering about where the where your fan base is, because I know you guys do well on the road. I've heard that about you.
Yeah,
I've known that
all over, man. You know, it's been a great experience, and from where we started, we're so appreciative that our main concern and the focus, and it works when you use this philosophy, is to make sure that the audience is entertained,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting what they came for.
Right. And in your case, what do you think they're coming for?
They're coming to hear those singles,
mm-hmm.
the songs that they remember. And there are fans who are, longer fans, mm-hmm. I'd say. And we try to fit something that's, a single in now and then. To satisfy them. But this residency is special because it's our first time, and the response has been from all indications and what I'm told. It's hard when you've never done it before. You don't know what to look for or what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm learning as we go. Isn't that something? 40 years and still learning.
What is the big learning?
Doesn't stop.
What has been the big learning, the thing that you have learned so far about
that Vegas is a very much a very different market.
Mm-hmm.
You don't use the same barometer that you would you know, normal dates. Mm-hmm. And we're in the same place, which is great for us because it gives us a chance to get into things we wouldn't normally have a chance to get into. You know, even to rehearse for a band like this with people living all over the country, you know, it gets to be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but here we're in one spot and we can at least rehearse once a week you know, focus a little more on several on some things that we don't get a chance to.
Dial it in, they say, right?
Yeah,
you dial
right.
The show in. How was it, Larry, that you arrived in Las Vegas in the first place? What was the mechanism that led you here? Because it seemed like a booking that a lot of people didn't expect, didn't see coming.
Well,
how did you make it happen?
We've been negotiating this thing for over a year because we started with one group of administrative people, and then the hotel sold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was the...
It was LVH when you guys first started talking.
I like the way you guys call it that. It's called the Las Vegas Hilton.
LVH.
I mean,
then
LVH. I just left a meeting where they said the same thing, and I didn't know what they were talking about. But anyway, and we started negotiating with them. The whole regime changed, and they hired a company to run their entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So we started talking with them, okay?
With Red Mercury.
Right, but I moved... here to Vegas before all of that started. Well, not really. We actually started the preliminary conversations while I was still in Atlanta. And then I moved here. I have a dear friend named Stephen Russo who lives
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I didn't have any other reason to be here, you know,
right.
other than that. And Steve has been great. And, you know, one thing led to another with this Westgate situation, and it seems to continue on and on with the surprises,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is good.
Right. We're going to take a quick break here, Larry, and let our movie reviewer, Josh Bell, step in and talk about a couple of the new releases, and then we'll come back with the Katz Report on the radio. John Katz-Lomitas with Larry Blackman of Cameo. So stick around. I know we will.
Sometimes when I look past the wall, I think that I can see something out there. Do you?
No, I don't.
Maybe you need to look harder.
I am looking. I'm just not seeing what you're seeing.
That's Shailene Woodley and Theo James in Allegiant, the third installment in the dystopian sci-fi Divergent series. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Based loosely on parts of the final novel in Veronica Roth's YA book series, Allegiant throws in a ton of new convoluted plot elements to justify continuing the story, but it never succeeds. Woodley remains a solid actor, but she's defeated by the incoherent script and the surprisingly terrible special effects. By the time it wraps up, Allegiant leaves the characters in practically the same place they started, with no immediate threats other than an uncertain future. I give Allegiant 1.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is The Bronze, starring The Big Bang Theory's Melissa Rauch as a washed-up Olympic gymnast and Gary Cole as her exasperated father.
I ran into Coach P at the market. She really wants to put the past behind you guys. She said that she could use someone like you.
Have you thought any more about working at the gym?
I'm not a coach. I'm a star. I was on Dancing with the Stars. It's not called Dancing with the Coaches.
Roush's Hope is a foul-mouthed, unpleasant, self-centered jerk whose existence still revolves around her 2004 bronze medal win. Hope's journey to becoming a better person is tiresome and obvious, and it's hard to invest in the redemption of someone so patently awful. The movie, co-written by Roush and her husband, is smugly self-congratulatory in its efforts at both edginess and sentimentality, while succeeding at neither. I give The Bronze 1.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com. Yes! Yeah!
Welcome back. You are listening to the Katz Report on the radio. Joining me this week in the studios, Larry Blackman from Cameo, the funk band, in residency at Westgate Cabaret. We were talking a little bit moments ago about how you... have become a Las Vegas resident artist.
Yes.
With Cameo.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the venue itself? The Westgate Cabaret is a unique place to play for a lot of people. It's got great sound.
The sound is phenomenal,
and it's got a great place you can move around a little bit. It's distinctively designed. How does it feel from the stage for you guys?
It feels good. It's an intimate environment, and you pick up more than sight. You know, of course, sound, but the energy is something that you can really feel. Mm-hmm. And you know, after doing this for so long, it becomes interesting. You open yourself up to that when you get started. Mm-hmm. Okay, there are three stages: your opening, your middle, and your close. Mm-hmm. Okay, and somewhere between the opening and you get past that, then you sort of open up to the energy that's in the room, and you try to size up your audience,
right,
to know what additions you might make or changes to maximize, you know, that exposure on that day. But the key is playing every show as if it's the first time you played it, you know, and that becomes fun in itself also. This whole thing is fun, man. I don't think we'd still be doing it if it wasn't, you know? It sustains us, okay? And, but there's still room to grow.
Have you found it at Las Vegas audiences, and in this case Westgate, you find a lot of people who are not that familiar with what you do? There's a lot of incidental kind of people who are in the room for, you know, that they've picked up tickets whichever way, that maybe Cameo wasn't their destination and you have to really win them over. Are you finding that more prevalent in Las Vegas?
Not at all. Very rare for Cameo.
Right.
Because if someone within that group of people are familiar with Cameo, and now there might be a couple of people that might not be, okay, but someone knows, okay, to show up there. And I think the rest of them are surprised, and we really find that enjoyable. And you can sort of tell sometimes, because some people sit there in awe with their mouths wide open. You know what I mean?
And they're looking at your stage outfits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that too.
You know, very distinctive visual.
I'd like to take that thing off sometime. but I think that thing is... it's an appendage that won't be going anywhere.
Well, it's like we're talking about the red cod piece, your signature effect. I mean, it's like, I don't know, like Michael Jackson's Love, or, you know, it's one of those things.
It was crazy in the UK. There's in Covent Garden. Are you familiar with that area?
No.
It's not far from the Kensington area.
Okay.
And there's a restaurant called Great Earth. It's a Chinese restaurant. And I used to love it, really, for the fried seaweed. However, that's another story. But Prince Philip was there one night, and a couple of the other acts from the label of, PolyGram. And he came up to the table, man, and started talking about the Red Cup. I mean, these English people was like, you know, it was on page 6 in the Star the next day about the fact that he came over and he had a couple of drinks, you know, and he was feeling good.
What did he ask you about?
It was something. I couldn't hardly hear him because he was slurring. So, you know, so I didn't know if that was a different language or what it was. But the next day I was able to read what he did say. I forget what it was. It was something... something of no consequence.
That
cup just does it for these English people.
It
man.
Follows you to the ends of the earth.
Yeah,
in other words.
It really does.
Well, I was introduced, like a lot of people were introduced to Cameo, and that whole effect was in the Word Up video,
right?
Which was fantastic. The song, the video, everything it was just thunderous. And that's where we got to know Cameo, was that way.
All right. Tell
me about the decision to use that wardrobe effect in the act in the first place. Did it surface in that Word Up video?
It certainly
did.
What
is the history? Why did you
go
that way?
Toy Sanderson was our wardrobe consultant at the time, and during the videos, and I directed that video as well. So, but then you have to put on the artist cap. So I'm standing on line waiting on my wardrobe, and then I see this black spandex thing he puts up there, and I said, "Oh no, spandex again." And then he put a big box up there, And I looked in the box and closed it real quick. I didn't want anybody online to see it. Went to the dressing room and I said, man, look at what Toyce wants me to wear. And they said, go for it, Blackman, balls out, you know. I said, no.
Or not in this case.
Yeah. You know. Oh my God. It was in the details, you know.
Right.
But it was, I didn't have time to object. I didn't, if I hated it, I just didn't have any opinion about it. And I felt like, you know, I was like handcuffed to this thing, you know, and it has been that, you know, since we've been back to London and Jean-Paul Gaultier was at a date we did at Wembley Arena. And he said, Larry, can you come to Paris next week? Can I do something special for you? You know, and he was telling me he used a silver codpiece in his spring collection.
Right. Okay.
And we went to, we were playing at the Zenith in Paris, and his summer line was being debuted right next door.
Okay.
So we went over there, and it was a cast. And every time we see Jean-Paul, man, he's such a wonderful person, you know, getting to meet people that, you know, you've heard of before getting into this business, and you get to meet them, you find out how down to earth they are.
Right.
It's a really, really encouraging kind of thing, you know. It really is. And up until today, we stay at the same hotel in Japan when we go. You know, it's been a wonderful experience.
Speaking of that, have you met who has also touched you that way, an unusual cameo fan? Is there anybody out there that you can think of who's been a particularly remarkable meeting?
You guys, you know, lots of fans. I couldn't remember their names at all, but I don't know. If you ever notice, sometimes speaking with people, it sounds as if something else is speaking through them.
Mm-hmm.
And I try not to discount that experience, whether it's the guy who runs up to your car and starts wiping your windshield expecting a tip, or it's someone that you heard of, you know, like Oprah Winfrey. At, we were doing the Montreux Jazz Festival, and Warner Brothers had their own booth, and there was some electric problem with her booth. So her and Stedman came over to our booth. Mm-hmm. And you get to meet people like that.
How
you get a different kind of impression.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, I get it. And I didn't know we were all at the same hotel in Montreux. And there was one particular room that I try to always make sure to get. And it's the presidential thing on the top floor, because they have these storm shutters, okay, that you can open and close as you need to. So if you're sleeping late, you know, you can block the sun out and everything. So anyway, I get on the elevator, and this guy, these two guys, get on, and I, you know, I don't like to stare at people, but I'm cutting my eyes. I said, God, that guy looks familiar. It was Stedman.
Oh, man.
I found out later that night, you know. And then, of course, after that, we would run into each other every place, you know.
That's they're probably,
you know,
fans. Kinda,
you know, yeah, like the longest engagement in history, you know.
Right.
Is it still going on, by the way? I think it is.
Well, you guys, I was going to get to this point, too. Core of Cameo has been, yeah. Right.
Let's leave that alone.
I'm still waiting for the invitation.
Right.
The core of Cameo, the guys that you've been performing with, are still together. I mean,
yes.
the band itself, I was struck by musically how tight you were when I saw you guys
at the
Westgate.
Thank you.
That's important. Have you been able to keep everybody as a unit over the entire course of this career? Some bands can't stand each other after 40 days.
You know what? And that's so strange, because we are not a band that likes to live with each other.
Right.
You know, you know how a lot of bands do that? They get a place and they all stay there? No.
That's the key.
No. You know what makes it better is when you have your own world outside of that, and then when you get together, and it's a familiar environment that has lasted for over 40 years.
Your relationship's, you know, on stage primarily then.
And it stays fresh that way,
okay?
And we have mutual respect, which matters a great deal. But my job is my job, and I take it seriously. And I try to encourage others to, or as well. Thank God I don't have to encourage them to do that, because as you witnessed, you know, they take their job seriously on stage.
Yeah.
And having a respect for this entertainment business, respecting the lives that dedicated themselves to this profession prior, you know, from Sammy Davis to Jackie Wilson II, those way before that, you mm-hmm. know. We see that as a tradition that should be upheld and respected.
Yeah.
So, you know, it makes it that much better. The more reasons you can give yourself for doing anything, the better you're going to be at it.
Yeah. Is it? Do you feel it's going to take a little bit of patience for Cameo to really catch fire in Las Vegas? Like a few months for people to really get the word of mouth?
Traditionally, I hear that within a short period of time, which I've been told we've done fantastic for only 3 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
It has tripled, I think. And that's fun to see something different, you know, after doing this for so long. Vegas is really a unique environment, you mm-hmm. know, and it's the entertainment capital of the world. So you could go any place around the world and mention Las Vegas. Everybody knows what you mean and what it's all about.
You mentioned England, and I've been overseas many times, and you do say Las Vegas, and that there is an instant response.
Oh, indeed.
And we've marketed the city very effectively.
Obviously. I mean, I thought this place was like 10 times the size of what it really is, you know. It's really a convenient place to exist.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to get out and see other shows and see what other productions are like since you've been
I intend to, but I'm not in a rush. I'll get around to it.
You know, it took a while for you guys. I think there was an announced date, and then it moved back a little bit and moved
yes,
back. What was the reason
yes,
for that? Were you guys just trying to see what you're going to put on stage,
you know,
or went for the right time? What was the reason
for that? It was the perfect storm of, you know, different things happening at one time. And our partners did not want to open up exactly the same date as another show that they had at the same building.
Mm-hmm.
It got moved around a bit. It was ambiguous for a while,
mm-hmm.
but all in the best interest of a successful show.
Yeah, you got to have your own time to have
yes,
attention.
Indeed.
Right? Well, I know they've got Dirk in there. They've got the magic act with the Tigers, Dirk Arthur, and they've got Twisted Vegas is just
right.
open. That's in the big
right.
theater.
Indeed.
And you guys are in the Shimmer, or I call it the Shimmer, the Westgate Cabaret, also with Purple Rain.
Yes,
in that room,
yes, yes, yes.
Which is also a big dance
the guy,
explosion, right? Jason Tenner.
You know, I haven't seen the whole show, but Jason is really a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, I call him Too Tall Prince, because Prince is like almost up to my waist. You know,
he's twice as tall as Prince. And you've got Sexy, the show too, the adult production.
I'm going to pass on that one.
You are,
yeah.
Why is that?
We've had a couple of issues backstage.
Well, I know one thing about that show is that they were in the 7 o'clock slot for a while, which was very rare for an adult show, and you guys were. Came into the 7 o'clock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Is there any discussion of that? I mean,
from outside,
it was unusual that a topless show would be in that 7 o'clock.
For as much as we've discussed this thing, that was the last thing I ever, I mean, I.
Really?
It's totally, yeah, the timing. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Cameo's the kind of act, if you're going to come see Cameo, you're going to come see Cameo, irrespective of the time.
Right.
And I guess we've proven that to ourselves with the 7 o'clock slot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's sort of weird, you know, to go to work so early and still have time, you know, to see everybody when you come home, you know.
Right. Yeah, you guys are out of there by 8:30, 9 o'clock or something.
Oh, man.
After meet and greet.
8:15, baby.
So what's the issues with Sexy? I know those guys, Jen Romas and the cast of Sexy. Is there a summit?
Me.
We need to dial up a summit to get you guys
No, nothing personal.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I've never met one person in the cast, you know, it wasn't personal,
mm-hmm.
but there was some confusion about dressing rooms and things that I was led to believe one thing and then came and the bait and switch was done on me.
So this is all backs.
Yeah, but it's worked out. I mean, everyone has done everything they can. And give credit to Red Mercury because they've gone out of their way to try to accommodate us
mm-hmm.
in any way possible. And I enjoy that.
Right. The one act that you know, I'm reluctant to draw comparisons, but one act and band that you guys remind me a lot of, and I saw them here in Las Vegas several years ago, was Morris Day and the Time. They came into the Flamingo and did a run there, and they powered it up just like you guys do. And it made me think that this kind of residency can work in Las Vegas because it's a good time show
good
and musically
that.
Very good.
It's good to hear that.
And they were here fairly recently, too. At the
yes, Morris lives mm-hmm. here. He lives here as well. And he's an associate. And we work a lot together.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely get to see each other.
Right.
Okay. Except on a plane or coming through to the airport because, you know, we're on different time slots. But, you know, I love working with Morris, man. He's a sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about him. He's just, you know, in the band, those guys are sweethearts, period.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, liked him a lot.
Yeah, there are guys in my group who, I've just found out recently, that once we all get to the same hotel, they get calls from them and they're talking back and forth about what's going on. I didn't know that. But Morris has always been a class act.
It'd be fun to have him drop by, sort of.
Sure would be. You know? And I'm going to ask him. You know, CeeLo is around too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He had
his
run at the Planet Hollywood.
Right. How did that go?
It. You know what? It underperformed. And I think here's, you know what my honest opinion about that show was? It was underfinanced. It didn't have
How
enough money.
How could that be?
I don't know.
He's there. The music is there. They have instruments. They had instruments, right?
No. This is where you're mistaken. I thought that too. They had him in his kind of low Liberace vibe. So he was in costume, but he didn't play the piano. They tracked the show, and it was mostly a dance show. Yeah, I was like, where is the piano?
Wait a minute. You're telling me he did a track show?
Yeah. He didn't have his band on
and
stage.
That went
he had
on
a bunch
for
of
a
dancers.
While.
It went on for. Oh, man, I can't remember exactly, less than a year, maybe 6 months. It was in that theater at Planet Hollywood where Peep Show used
remember,
to be.
I remember
very frustrated with this show.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Because he's an amazing artist. He's a great musician.
Listen, you know, he came about while I was in my early Atlanta days, okay? Mm-hmm. And those guys are talented. And CeeLo has always been a pleasure to deal with. We did a benefit for a charity of his earlier this year. And I didn't know what you just shared with me.
I wanted him to come back and do just a regular concert show. They tried to do like a somewhat of a production. And
I don't
my
even know
feeling...
how they talked him into that.
I don't either. I think he was trying to get some momentum behind it and get some more money invested in it. That was the read I got on this show. But the production of it, seriously, was not worthy of what I'd seen out of him in like the award shows that he'd done and some other appearances.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's why I was impressed. You know, when I went and saw you guys, it was really musically super solid.
No track days, baby.
Good for you. No tracks. This is not a
blasphemy.
Not Union Pacific. No tracks.
It's blasphemy.
All right, Larry. We got to cut it off now.
Okay.
We're at the end of our
show.
We're
ready to go.
It's Larry Black with Cameo. Thanks so much for coming in. It's 7
it's
o'clock
my pleasure,
nightly
man.
At Westgate.
Thank you for being so kind to me. I appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. We'll be back in the room. It's Westgate Cabaret, 7 p.m. nightly, dark Mondays and Tuesdays. And I'll be back, and I will be dancing, and I might wear the red codpiece.
All right. Do your thing, baby. I would suggest you do it at home, though, in privacy.
Privacy. Oh. We got us a deal. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.